Thank you for the introduction, Pedro. This is a beautiful mass. I appreciate your devotion very much. This is why we are all here, isn't it? It's not for fundraisers so much or even to serve our individual parishes, but it's to worship our Lord Jesus Christ in his blessed sacrament. Amen?
Amen.
When we ever lose sight of that, we lose sight of everything that we are about as Catholics. It's vital to our faith, our identity, and everything that we do. Isn't that right? And it's something that our young people need to be imbibed with more, and they're sadly losing that sense. But this morning, what I want to do is I want to talk about fatherhood and that journey of the father in the home. You know, it's interesting, though, and leading men and fathering men and women has just been just a tremendous experience in my life. But to be honest with you, I find it a little ironic that this is the St. Norbert Council, right? St. Norbert was the founder of the Order of Premontre, otherwise known as the Norbertines. But I don't know if you knew this, St. Norbert. How many of you know of his background and his life? Okay, he was a 12th century priest. Before the French Revolution, there were actually several hundred monasteries in France and in Germany. Now, Norbert actually, he was a very impressive man. And, you know, Order of Premontre is considered one of the seven major orders in the church. But, you know, he was a little rigorous at times, and even his first group of seven novices, which he led and he fathered, he had them doing some pretty rigorous penances. They were even walking in the snow barefoot, okay, not well clad. They didn't eat very well. Well, I'm sorry to report his first seven novices, his first seven sons all died on him. But yet he founded one of the greatest orders of the church until the French Revolution, when the French war nearly devastated the order. And there's just a few remnants, even in Europe today. But the Norbertine order used to be very, very, very active. Anyways, let us say a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, with docility and openness, we come before thee, seeking your truth and your light upon some difficult issues we want to look at relating to family, relating to fatherhood, relating to manhood. Grant us through the grace of your Spirit that we can penetrate these mysteries you wish to show us, that we may understand ourselves in the way that you see us, and that we may be aided in our journey for sound and human peaceful living. Give us the courage to be steadfast in all our efforts, especially in the home, to be servants pleasing to you always, as well as channels of your grace. We ask all these things for your Son, our Lord. Amen. I heard a quote not too long ago from a doctor, a Protestant doctor, who I admire very much. He said, to know God is to have a relationship with the Father. Fatherhood is how our Heavenly Father, the Godhead, wishes to be known. It's how he revealed himself. And so certainly the closer we can get, obviously, the natural transition, the better we understood our own or have understood a good journey with our own fathers, we could better relate to that fatherhood of God himself. And this is where many are stuck. To know God, as he said, is to have a relationship with the Father. Now, the difficulty is, in my full-time men's ministry, and as some of you already know, when you deal with young men, especially in their 20s, late 20s, 30s, 40s, they're losing this masculine identity and the identity of fatherhood and its place. And so there's a lot of confusion and disenfranchisement about fatherhood. It's very, very difficult on a number of fronts, and we're only be able to cover a few of those. But they're finding it difficult how to relate to the woman in their lives and the women in their workplace, and they're not even sure how to oftentimes. And that natural vocation they have, especially in the home, this is the most tragic aspect about this, to be the head of the home as Christ was head of the church, to many young men today is an unintelligible proposition. Those words of St. Paul, okay, don't strike their hearts. In fact, they don't even believe in that. They have failed in some way, the majority, I'm sorry to say, to imbibe the sense that they are to be the head of the home, just as Christ was the head of the church. Christ, who did what for the church? He laid down everything he had. He loved the church with everything unto his very life. This is the critical lesson which all men young men need to be learning. But they're confused. Actually, it was here a year and a half ago when I had a conference, and a gentleman wrote me. We had another part of the center here. And this is part of a long letter. He says, "Since that meeting, I am a much, much calmer in dealing with my very lovely family. Yet the mind-numbing issues that seem to arise are on a constant basis. I realize that it is not through some cruel twist of fate that I am condemned to hear from my wife her continual litany of my shortcomings, despite my best efforts to the contrary, that I am pretty much in the same boiling water that all of us frogs, i.e. husband and dad, seem to be sitting in." He's projecting some words here that are not uncommon in the heart of many young men, many young fathers. Now, again, men are facing a number of issues that's very difficult for them. They're finding it very difficult how to relate with a woman. Okay, it's been a tough task for many. The difficulty is you have to understand that when men reach out, they reach out in the way they perceive things, not the way you do. You know, just earlier today, we were talking at this table about the need for a man to open up and share his heart. The difficulty is he opens up and shares his heart primarily and foremost with another man who is able to guard it, to affirm him, to help him in his troubles, to summon him in his strengths. And you see, the proper modality for a man to open up and for to follow this journey of the heart starts first with his father and the other men mentoring him. And it's important that you ladies understand, too, and you men even more so, that that journey of that father in the home starts with this man being mentored and his heart opens up with his father and his mentors in his life, without which he can otherwise not easily open up his heart to a woman he loves. And so we can oftentimes do that in the beginning when he's in the pursuit, in the chase, right? But what's disillusioning to many women, when they are married, he stops the pursuit and the chase. And his heart sometimes closes up. And it's not atypical of what is still happening today. Because in order for his heart to grow and develop in love, it has to be open in a safe way through a man he respects principally, in order for him to open up the heart, his heart, to his wife, and to his daughters, and to his son. This is an important journey of the man. Now, I don't want to package men or women so tightly in what may be, you know, their exact qualities and specifications of what it is to speak about masculine or feminine identity, but I can assure you, there's something in the heart by nature of men who they have it in them and they want to be leaders, protectors, and providers. They want to be the hero. And as some research of John Gray has shown, very popular writer on the subject, every man has a deep desire to be needed. They do want to serve. There's something in every man that wants to lay it all down. As I often say in talks, see, this is why he loves battle, you see, because above all things, he wants to be known publicly as a man who is willing to lay down his life in battle for what he believes. That is what is in the heart of a man. You have to understand that. They want and desire and crave to be heroes. They want and desire to crave to give everything they have and to be feel needed in that way. But the difficulty is, you see, if they don't go through that journey that a man needs to take him, okay, through his heart, to help him find where his passions are, his interests lie, and what the strengths he normally has and his natural gifts, without that, men will fail oftentimes to move forward with confidence in their abilities, in their natural gifts. And this is what many men are lacking today. They're lacking in that confidence they need to move forward. But what they are told, you know, in a matter of messages in the media and whatnot, that they are dispensable. And this is very tragic. Men are not needed anymore. They're practically not even needed for fertility anymore. That's the way we've made things. But you see in this society, their role is now taken away. You see, at one time they were the main leader, the main providers. You see, but that's been taken away. And whereas John Paul II says, he makes very clear, in the workplace, fathers of families have priority in jobs, okay? Because that's who needs the job, the better jobs, the most. But the difficulty is he's in a world now that where the women are taking preference in the workplace, okay? Well over half, okay, of those entering college now are not men anymore, they're women. Over 60% of medical students now are women. I'm not saying, my friends, that women shouldn't participate and follow some of their gifts and skills, but you see where I'm going here. They are not being given that identity anymore, that they are the providers anymore. They're losing that. They're losing that. Now you see what happens, again, as I say, on the natural level. You see, a man has to be known in the order of nature and the order of grace as a leader and a protector and provider in the home. It's all through the scriptures. We don't need to go through all the passages. He's losing this. He's losing his sense of being the leader because he's told there has to be an egalitarian model in the home. He's losing his sense of being a provider, okay, because his role as being a sole provider or a chief provider in the home is now obscured, if not removed, from his life. And so many men, as a result of these things, are demoralized, they're discouraged, but what's worse than that is they have lost their place. They have lost what I would call, otherwise, their masculine identity. They want to serve, they want to give, but they don't really know how. There's a confusion of their roles, their place, their capacities, their abilities. Some women, you know, in their periphery, they want to be cared for, but it's hard to get them back in the home. Some men want to lead, but women oftentimes thwart his efforts and challenge his authority. I hear this from young men all the time. Some men want to be responsible, but women oftentimes assume his tasks or criticize him for those tasks that he assumes. Some want to put confidence in men, but they can't put down their suspicions. So they're losing their masculine journey here. They're being lost. And you see this sometimes in your own sons. And the women that come into their lives oftentimes, they're different than even when I was growing up. Now, I've been on the wrong side of 40 for a few years now. But you could see what happens, you know, the women coming home from colleges now, they're more aggressive, more career-driven, more independent, more professionally-minded, and not maternal-minded. And this is devastating, and it's devastating marriages once they get and engage in a marital relationship. It's devastating your sons and your daughters, and you all see this. Oh, the poor man, he's struggling, my friends, he's struggling. And so he's brought up in a society which sees that there's only really one virtue, and that virtue is where everything for him is made equal. Everything has to be a level playing field for him. And the difference is, all that's minimized them. They're not really important between men and women. We just got to talk about our likenesses. You see, it's because we're not speaking of the differences, he's losing his place. My friends, your sons-in-laws are losing their place. And because of that, they are discouraged, they are depressed, they are forlorn, and they are struggling. I deal with countless men, okay, on these issues. They're devastating us. They're devastating us. Don't despair. I'll get to some of the solutions, okay? But the difficulty is, as I said before, I find the chief problem here is that they are not being guided and mentored by other men. Now, men used to do this a little more naturally when men were mentored in the trades. Some of you remember that. Some of you gentlemen remember that, okay? When your fathers mentored you in the trade that you had, and of course this history is about passing on trades that we had, okay? Father to son. And so mentoring came very naturally from fathers to sons. And your fathers passed on to you skills. And a lot of you grew up in tough times where, you know, when that roof was leaking, you had to fix it yourself. Or the faucet. Or something was broken. Or the car. You did your own automobile work, didn't you? Some of you remember your best memories, gentlemen, your fondest memories are when your fathers took you into these projects and he shared these projects with you, aren't they? Your most precious memories of your father, bringing you into his life, his periphery, but working on a project together. That's love in a man's language. But the difficulty is, again, men are not being led. Men are not being led anymore because we're in a certain commercial industrial age which obscures these things. And so now we farm everything out. See, when the roof leaks or so does the plumbing, we call somebody in. You know, we get them on the horn. And we have these things serviced. And we're failing now, gentlemen, to pass on these trades and these abilities to our sons, to teach them how to do these things, to mentor them, to guide them, to be with them. My father was a contractor, and you know, I know how to drill nails into drilling shingles into roofs when I was 6 years of age. And using a hammer, I knew how to wield a hammer well when I was a very young boy. Back then, when something broke, we fixed it. Being the second of 10, you didn't have much in the way of extras, okay? Not financially. But you gentlemen know when you struggle in life, your family's not very well off as you maybe are today. You did things together. You shared more with your fathers. And in age now, we seem to possess so much materially. Why is it that these material possessions seem to obscure and block everything now going in the home, where we should be engaging more, but these possessions divide us more and more? The possessions I know, which some of you crave very much to have younger, and so you, with your good hearts, want to provide everything you can for your families, and you've heroically done so, gentlemen, many of you. I know that, okay? But the difficulty is, the young men have been lost in the age of ownership, huh? When they need more of your time and attention to learn some of these projects. So you see, when a man, he grows up, he wants to know many things. He wants many skills, okay? To be endowed with gifts to create and to fix and to forge and to fashion, see? And he needs those mentors to lead him to that, to guide him in all of these talents that he needs to know. And you see, if he doesn't get this from his father, he becomes insecure. And the dominant cause, I assure you, for male insecurity is their fathers not participating in these formative dimensions in their lives. You know, it's interesting. I speak with some of the women in the parish, you know. Thinking is, don't worry about us. Just spend time with the men in our lives. Spend time with our husbands. One woman made an interesting statement very recently. She said, this is very odd. She says, yeah, I'm not sure Christ came for women. He came for men. He came to redeem all of us, you see. But isn't it interesting how when he came on this world, oh, he defended women. He guarded them. He respected them and he honored them. But he trained men. He summoned men. And he spent the majority of his 3 years of apostolic ministry doing what? Reaching out and forming 12 men. That's what he did. And I repeat often in my own ministry, once I saw this fact and started reaching out more to younger men, starting men's groups, reaching into men's hearts, validating their strengths, helping them through their weaknesses, priests more to work with men in our parish to raise them and summon them to be the soldiers that they are meant to be, we could change this world for Jesus Christ, amen? That's what we need to do, gentlemen. And the knights have to be on the forefront of supporting the priests to see that above all, we should be forming young knights. Gentlemen, that's what you are meant to do. It is in your heart, it is in your soul to build warriors, to forge captains, to raise sons. Oh yes, you protect and defend, love the women in your life. Yes, you do that. But you forge men to be men in your own image as the Father did his only begotten Son. You forge those young men to carry on your legacy, to contribute to the common good, to make a difference, and your lives will change. And this is why a lot of older men are losing their place in this world as well. Why? They're not doing what they're meant to do. What is that? It's to mentor these other men. In their 20s, 30s, and 40s. Every man needs a mentor till he's 50. My assistant says, I think we need to up that age a little bit. They are dying. They are aching, gentlemen, for men like you to come into their lives and to start leading them to something, challenging them, spending time with them, reaching out to them, being their father, their older brother, their mentor, their guide. They're aching for this. Their wives have been praying about this for years. Amen, ladies? Gentlemen, this is why a lot of men are losing their in their elder years, too. I find they're, even after a very successful life, they're kind of saying, now, is this all there is? Seasoned gentlemen, successful in the business world, pious Catholics, still saying things like, pray for me, I know what my vocation is. Imagine that. Gentlemen, your vocation, let me tell you, is to form these young men around us. Form them to be men of steel and men of velvet. Form them to be the lion and the lamb. You have to form them, you see, because we've got to be engaged now. We've laid down our arms. Gentlemen, some of you are in an age when this country summoned you to battle, you heroically left. It was in your soul, embedded in your soul, to take up that challenge and to defend your country. That sense is being lost today. That sense is being lost. It has to be restored. Some of you heroically fought in battle. I know that. Okay, and I honor you for that. What we have to do today is we have to lead younger men to see the battles that are out there. And they are worse than Nazis. They are worse than communists. They are pornographers. They are those in the abortion industry. Gentlemen, abortion and pornography is proliferating in the United States of America because men are failing to stand up. And once we begin to stand up and face these things and say, enough is enough, you are not going to kill men on my soil. We are going to not let this perversion be in the convenience stores and the supermarkets. My kids, my grandkids, are not going to be exposed to this stuff. We're not going to pervert them in the schools with all this sexual pornography in their textbooks. The contraceptives passed out in the grade schools. Imagine that. I'm sure I'll bet anything in this county. Gentlemen, you see the battles, and we're not engaged. We're not engaged, gentlemen. Let's be honest. We are not out there in the forefront of these battles. We have to do more than finance the charge. We have to lead the charge. Amen? Gentlemen, we're knights. We lay down our lives for not just those we love in our family, but also in our communities. We'd be a father to all in this way. The masculine journey here. So you could see, gentlemen, is we have to lead men out into the battles in life. We have to lead men into the homes and teach them how to be fathers. Okay, most men, and I'll even say this about women too, most men are very insecure about their fatherhood, just as a lot of women are very insecure about their motherhood. The dominant reason for this is because older women are not mentoring younger women much anymore. Older men are not mentoring these younger men much anymore. Okay, we've abandoned this whole project of mentorship. And I've dealt with a number of women. I haven't met a young mother once, not once, that ever thought in her heart of hearts she was a good mother. I start looking now into the depths of the souls of young women, and for some reason there's something embedded, a recording in there. I'm not really a good mother. I'm not really worthy, worth loving. The men are saying the same thing. And deep in their psyches, I've learned to kind of pull this out of men. I'm really not a man among men. I haven't got what it takes. I'm no fighter. I'm not a leader. You see these deep down embedded thoughts in the young men and women we have today, again, are there because they are not getting the mentors they need in the homes. Again, not just men reaching out to men, but women reaching out to women. That has to be done too, because women are losing their place and they're not being well supported in their maternal capacities, in their maternal duties. which takes other women to help them and support them. For some reason, this technological age, my friends, has obscured us from these natural duties that we have. But you see, there was something in a pattern of maybe early American, definitely early 19th century living, especially in the Catholic Church, but also in the Protestant churches as well, where I know there was a kind of, let's just say, excessive rigidity, hardness, sternness, where a lot of life was about, you know, thou shalt and thou shalt not. I grew up with the old guard. I grew up with the church where I learned the catechism. I had very devoted nuns teaching me in half my grades. But you know, as I saw devoted nuns and priests, oftentimes I didn't see the heart of Jesus Christ. God bless them for their sacrifices. I'm not putting them down. But because of some of the influences in our country, and this happened in a parallel way in the Protestant world, for some reason, I don't know, in the early part of the 20th century, we weren't expressing that heart of the faith, that spirit of the faith. Now, I understand we went the other way, or overemphasized the commandments, the detriment of the journey of the heart. We've gone a little bit way too far the other way, where we've almost dismissed the commandments. That is just as pernicious as well. We need both. We need the letter of the law, and we need the spirit. We need both, my friends. But I know there was an age, and I was raised in this, okay, where things were hard. Okay, when I was in high school, too, I got whacked around, too, by priests and professors and whatnot. God bless them for their sacrifices. But some of you understand and know and have lived those days in the homes where things were hard. Men were stern, kind of rigid. Their demeanors kind of inflexible. And women rebelled. They didn't feel themselves validated. Their hearts were crushed. That tender capacity in them to feel and to experience the joy of life was thwarted, was suffocated. And I deal with many, and I've dealt with many. Those in their older generations remember this, and that's why many have left the faith, because their memories are of a hard church. They use the terms rigid, repressive, and terms like that. I understand that. I was raised in that too, okay, where we lost the heart. But you see, the difficulty is, it's one thing to speak about this in our religious faith. It's a whole different matter to speak of it in our home, which it also translated to. And so in our homes too, we've lost a sense of heart in some of those earlier days where men, for whatever reasons, because maybe they were not led well by other men, they failed to be the lamb. They failed to have the velvet. The steel was in them. The lion was sort of forged. But what about that compassion that Christ showed? That model of what it was to reach in the hearts, to understand the weak, to validate the hurting, to be very sensitive to what is sensitive in the hearts of young children. I have dealt with many young people and older people, okay, whose hearts have been so bludgeoned in the home by the hardness of fathers and even of mothers in certain cases. Gentlemen, I pray, yes, you are made of steel, and there is a warrior in you. There's a warrior in your sons. And every man has it in here to lay down his life. And he gives given certain gifts to do this, where he becomes firm and steadfast, and that's noble. Where he is determined and set on his principles, and that is good. But my friends, in the image of Jesus Christ, my brothers, we not have to be that lion, okay? We also have to be that lamb. It's not one or the other, no. It is not the lion or the lamb or the steel or the velvet. It is both. Men, your image, your persona, your masculine gifts should be making you like Jesus Christ, where you are the lion who will stand up and lay down his life. You be fierce in the face of danger. You be fierce in the face of error. You be fierce in the face of all those trying to jeopardize the good of your family. But you be that lamb too, that's understanding of the weak, that is compassionate to what is fragile, like the hearts of a young child or of women. There's something, I think, for a long time that's an unintelligible thing to many fathers. Many fathers, many men, do not understand, ladies, I'm sorry, it's hard for them to understand this. They don't understand sometimes that your psychic life is like a child, very easily violated and hurt. Your sensitivities, your delicacies, easily bludgeoned. I know that, okay? And the men have not often understood the sensitivity of approach they really needed to have with you. They never understood that journey, so please forgive them. Some have lacked certain compassion they need to reach out, but oftentimes it was because they were not mentored. They were not guided. Some of these things were propagated by the church, some of the in American custom and whatnot. Despite the reasons and the causes and whatnot, okay, men were very obscured in that fullness of that masculine fatherly identity, to be fierce and yet to be compassionate at the same time. This is what a man is made of. And I don't know if there's something happened too in our pictures and images of Jesus Christ where we just look at him as good shepherd, as the nice guy and not the warrior. You know, I can't even look at holy cards anymore. Pictures of our Lord, they're kind of almost effeminate, emasculated. No, that's not our Lord. Oh yes, he was the good shepherd, compassionate always, but he was tough too. He had to fight. He was quite the fighter. So gentlemen, what you lead your sons to be doing, you teach them how to be this lion and you teach them how to be this lamb in the image of the Savior. The one who at all times, you've seen him, you've read the Gospels, fierce as our Lord was in the face of his enemies, to the money changers in the temple, to the Pharisees, to the Sadducees, fierce, undaunting in the face of death. Yet at the same time, like a lamb to the women, the children, the poor, the weak. You remember the women at the well, the woman caught in adultery. We are to form our sons, above all, in the image of Jesus Christ, who had the fullness of all these gifts and exercised them most perfectly. Gentlemen, we can go on to several other questions of this and ever other dimensions. I know some of this is offensive to some of it's hard to hear. I understand that. In my own men's ministry, I do this full time, working with men, okay, trying to help forge, first of all, an understanding of that masculine identity, to help them walk that masculine journey, and to teach men how to mentor other men. This is what I do full time. It's awesome. I think it's one of the more critical needs in the church. But gentlemen, I want you to understand is that if in Ephesians 5, what you have to understand is that you must call your sons to love their wives as Christ loved the church, as Ephesians 5:25 says, and delivered himself up for it. But yet at the same time, mothers, you teach as to your daughters that the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be subject to husbands in all things. Deferential wives, but heroic husbands who lay everything down. That's the combination of the Creator. Those aren't my words. Okay, that has been divinely ordained since Genesis, repeated and perfected through St. Paul. This is not a superior over an inferior. It's equality in human dignity, but difference in roles. And when there's mutual respect in the vision given to us, okay, in Genesis and perfected through St. Paul, in Jesus Christ, I can assure you we can again achieve that masculine identity to give men a sense of their place in this world, a place in their church, and a place even in their own hearts, coming to understand themselves, to know themselves. And as St. Paul says, yes, it is difficult for a man to please his wife. It's very difficult. He doesn't understand a number of needs. And you ladies, you have to be very prayerfully deferential, okay, and not shaming him or berating him for what he doesn't know or doesn't understand. You pray that he gain the insight. Do not criticize a man. Yes, I understand women shouldn't be criticized either. But you see, ladies, you can decimate a man through your words. You can so discourage him and decimate his confidence. I would ask you to do what you can to build it up. And so what I find today in the hearts of many young women are heroes, and older women too, deep heroes of great patience, of long-standing forbearance. having to pray and be deferentially trustful that our Lord will lead the men in their lives to be the husbands and fathers, mentors and guides they are meant and ordained to be. Take care not to discourage the man in your life. I understand, ladies, I understand many have gone through a kind of martyrdom of patience. I understand this all too well. I've dealt with a number of women in this regard. But gentlemen, too, to understand your wives, the needs of your family, your sons, your daughters, you have to come to Christ specifically. You have to come Him in daily prayer, naming specific needs that you need, okay? Specific understandings to guide all of those in your care. It takes not only natural insight, but gentlemen, you need divine insight, which only prayer can give. Your wives have known this for years. There's an insight that only prayer and divine help can penetrate through our minds to help us understand our roles, to help us understand our identity, to understand where we're going, how to lead, how to be the lion, how to be the lamb, how to be the man who lays down everything, even his very life, for those he loves. Gentlemen, God bless you on your way. And God bless you for all the sacrifice you have made, and all of you ladies as well.
We hope you enjoy this recording of Dr. Phil Chavez, founder of the Men's Academy. To find out more about our training and resources on Christian manliness, visit www.themensacademy.org. Thank you.